We'll get started. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy and for your word. And Lord, we do come with hearts that are open and ready to hear and expectant,
yes.
So that our lives can be changed and transformed, and that we'll accomplish and do all that you call us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, first off, you know, my wife's she's in Hong Kong right now. She will be in the Philippines soon. And interestingly, I talked to her, she called yesterday, but just texting back and forth, she just wanted to encourage you guys. She said that when we give over there, she says it's making such a big impact in so many lives. Like she'll have pictures, I'm sure, but you don't see it all. Just like when you get to heaven, you'll see more of what you did and what you gave and how you sowed and prayed. But she said it's really, really neat. She said just let them know that they're making a huge difference over here.
Awesome.
Amen.
Amen.
So, and we went to a conference Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in Houston. It was actually Galveston, I guess. I didn't go in the water or anything. I just to the conference and back. That's it. And what was interesting that we had some people call us up to pray for us, and they said the Lord is going to bring people in, right? Mm-hmm. People who are going to team up with you, and you don't have to go look for them. I'm still looking. But, you know, but Lord's bringing people in.
Amen.
To partner, right? And we said, okay. And then afterwards, the man said, he goes, was that pretty accurate? I said, yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. Because we have, you know, the Lord, when we say Lord's increasing us, it's not just outside, but it's also, we're believing him to increase us on the inside, right?
Yes.
And but we also want to expand our sphere of influence, so not everybody is so taxed or so burdened with serving, right? You know, sometimes it would be nice to come to church and not have to do anything but listen and receive. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. So, today we're going to continue on our partnership, the idea of partnership, and specifically we're going to talk about faithfulness, right? And here's a scripture, Luke 16. Now, I'm just talking about this not because I don't think anybody here is faithful, but I want us to increase and grow in it, right?
Amen.
You know, I'm not going to talk about, like, people who don't come to the people who are here. They don't make sense, right? Well, we're talking about faithfulness. I want to be more faithful. I want to grow in it. And I want to know what it is, so I also know what it's not, right? I remember I told you the story of the person said, okay, say with me, I'm the righteousness of God. And they go, I'm the righteousness of God. Yeah, you go, what does that mean? They go, I don't know. But if you don't know what it means, how can you know if you're doing it or not? Right?
That's right.
How do you know if you're taking advantage of it or not? You would. I saw my neighbor down the street. He just bought this new truck. It looks really nice. Man, it's a nice truck. I'm not saying anybody else's truck isn't nice. I'm just saying this truck, I saw it. He had like a newer Toyota Tundra, and he traded in for I looked on the license plate. But it's a long bed, four-door Ford, heavy-duty something or another. He's always working on cars, so I figured he's a mechanic. So I saw him yesterday. I said, hey, how you doing? He goes, doing good? I said, what you doing? He's like, oh, I'm hooking up something to something. I don't remember all the terminology because I just don't know what it means. But he says he's got a extra 75-gallon gas tank that he's switching over to convert when his regular gas tank goes low. He can hit this switch and then it automatically fills it. He goes, I can go like 1,000 miles. And I'm like, well, that's pretty good. But see, I don't know all the terminology of what he was saying. I could repeat it if I would remember it, but I don't know what it actually means. And sometimes, you know, we do the same thing with God. When we hear Bible terms like faithfulness, we automatically think, oh yeah, I know, that's good. But we don't know if we don't know what it means. We don't know if we're really being what? Faithful. So Luke 16:10 says this. He that is faithful in which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. Now, I know you guys probably keep track of a little bit of the news. They got the lotteries over $1 billion now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You see that? Mm-hmm. Don't go buy a ticket. Don't do that. But it was interesting because I heard somebody making an analogy. He said, for the poor, they sell the lottery like this is your way out of poverty.
Yeah.
But it only keeps them in more poverty. Does that make sense? Like with the idea that you have a great chance to win. Like my sister called me in a panic. Hey, hurry. I said, what? She goes, Caleb, quit, we can strike it. Caleb will strike it again. Never I don't forget. But Caleb Radio, if you donate $40, you pledge $40, you have a 1 in 20 chance of winning a trip to Hawaii. I'm like, honey, listen, sister, that gives me 5% chance of winning. A 1 in 20% is only 5%. That's not very good odds. If there's only 20 spots, then I could buy all of them and go for sure. She goes, oh, I didn't think about that. I go, right, exactly. Hey, just change the station. Change that station, go to something else. Right? But sometimes, like, she does know someone, my sister was telling me, who just won, like, the Texas lottery for $5 million. She knows the person. And then she said, but that person ain't going to share with anyone. You know how people are, right? Mm-hmm. So, I say that because whatever we're faithful in a little bit, we'll be faithful in something big. But then we have to identify what is faithfulness. Psalms 112 verse 1 says this in the NIV. Help, Lord, for no one is faithful anymore. Now here's some descriptions. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race.
Mm.
So here he's talking about help, Lord. No one is faithful, meaning the very, very, very few. And we're going to look at what are some of the words of faithfulness defined. Here's one. I just got definition and we'll look through it. Loyalty, being constant, constancy, right? Devotion, trueness, true-heartedness, dedication, commitment, allegiance, adherence. Like, you know, I think of allegiance. Remember when it was popular to, I pledge allegiance to the flag? Well, that means I'm going to be dedicated or loyal or true to the American flag. Now, I know there's a lot of haters who hate on that, right? That's just because they haven't been anywhere else in the world. You know, instead of burning the flag, if you went over to some communist countries, you cannot burn their flag without ending up in jail. You just disappear. They come get you, they put you in a van, and you're gone. They have, you know, they call them kill vans or death vans. They kill you in the ride, during the ride, and then they just dump your body. You never make it to jail. This isn't even like, this is fact. This is not, we're just making up something to sound good. And so when you think of allegiance, that's something to have to do with faithfulness. Here's another one. Adherence to, dependability, reliability, trustworthiness, to be steadfast, accurate, precision, exactness, closeness, strictness, fairness, just, factual, truthful, authentic, reliable, dependable. Someone said, I ain't any of that. Okay, well, we're working on it. You know, and I know these are things that if I look at all these words about faithfulness, I have room to grow, right? I may be kind of strong in some areas, but in other areas, oh, I can grow some here. Now, Wednesday night, we talked about walking in love and how It's important to understand that the enemy is always looking for an avenue in, and you can shut the door as you to him as you walk in love. And I told you, remember I said, for those that were there, I said, look, and we know how this works, because the enemy comes immediately somehow to steal the word so that it doesn't get planted in your heart, so that it doesn't grow. So Thursday was a little bit of a challenge because I had to get up real early, get my wife to the airport, come back, get ready, take my other daughter to the airport. So I got part A completed, part B, you know, dealing with all the traffic and people and all that. Okay, I'm good. I'm still doing good. And then, so I went to drop off Katie at the airport, and I had to keep waking her up. Katie, come on, we got to hurry. Katie, come on, we got to hurry. Katie, come on, we got to hurry. So I got time. Okay. We get to the airport, like 12:30. She said her flight was like 1:30, 1:40. So no problem. And then I hear over the loudspeaker, to Tulsa, now closing. I'm like, what? What? Katie, run in there. See what happened. She comes out. And while I'm waiting, because she's like, I think I'm going to miss my flight. While we're waiting, I pull over. I'm in the middle of this traffic. This guy pulls next to me. Okay, fine. I'm just sitting, his car's in front of me, right? He gets out of his car, calls me an idiot.
Oh, no.
I got to exhale. You know, you think, like, you're talking to me? You're talking to me? Because what's on my mind, I'm thinking, if she misses that flight,
right.
Now I got to drive her up to Tulsa.
Yeah.
Minimum 9 hours if I drive like the crow flies, right? So then I have to drop her off, turn around, come back. Or I can let my sister drive her up, but that doesn't sound good to me. That doesn't. And I'm not excited about that idea. So I'm feeling like, okay, I'm kind of stuck here. But then I got this guy get out of the car, call me an idiot. And I'm just sitting there. So I'm exhaling. And I thought back to Thursday, Wednesday night, thinking, you know, you're going to be tested on this.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. Because your flesh, man, your flesh is flesh. You messing with me. You're not caring about witness. So what if your church people see you? They're going to see how you beat up somebody right now. This is how you do it, right? This is how you yield to the flesh, people. This is, you know, the things that go through your fleshly mind. Right? So I said, okay, I got to exhale. All right. I didn't say, Lord, forgive him for he doesn't know what he does. I didn't do, you know what, like when someone said, what would Jesus do? I'm working on it. He said, where's my whip? I'm going to whip him. Right? I mean, these are the things that you and I have to face in this world, right? So I was like, okay, I just slowly leave. I'm okay. So I get a call. Katie says, yeah, I missed the flight. They already closed it. Turn around, come back, get her. I says, okay, we'll work it out. She's kind of upset, you know. I'm like, no, it's okay. It's going to be fine. And so then I went online when I went home praying, Lord. Now, I'm praying because I have confidence that God will help. If I would have fleshed out, I wouldn't say he couldn't forgive me if I would have got out of my car yelling at the guy. But I may not have confidence that he can help me in this situation because my own heart would condemn me for the way I behave.
Right.
Right? So I get online and I look and I found a flight leaving today. It was only
$48.
Wow. I'm like, okay, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It pays not to flesh out, right?
Yeah.
didn't want to flesh out. Why? Because in one sense, I want to be constant in my love walk.
Yes.
Right? I want to be, some of these definitions, I want to be committed to it. I want to be, you know, dependable. I want to be true. These are some aspects of what? Faithfulness. Now, here's three things that have to do with faithfulness. We're just going to talk about three today. Right? There might be more. There might be a lot more, but we're going to talk just about three. Look at Psalms 119. And you guys probably already know this, but it'll be worth repeating. Verse 29 says this. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. Right? Take away from me or remove from me the way or the method or the manner of lying. Now, I've asked you, what is a lie, or who created lies? The Bible gives us that the enemy, the devil, is the father of what? Of all lies. So when you lie, when I lie, if I lie, if you lie, you yield to him. Can you ever see God lying to you?
No.
How about God lying to someone else?
No.
No. He won't do it. Why? Because he's faithful. He's true. Right?
Yes.
So would it be okay then, if he won't lie, if we would lie to one another?
No.
Not okay.
No. Not okay. Right? See, so from remove that from me. Psalms 119 says, I hate and abhor lying, but your word I do love. So if we recognize one of the main things, a really big thing, because it's, I mean, I'm telling you, it's so easy to lie.
Yeah.
I'm not lying when I tell you that's simple, right? And it starts really young. You know, it seems so innocent. You know, like when the kids, they say, did you eat? What are you eating? Nothing. Did you have a cookie? And they're right there, got chocolate on their face, still swallowing it, right? And because they don't say no any better, or they don't want to get in trouble, they go, no, I did that before. Before, when I was younger, even when I was older, I'm sure I did too. But one time in particular, my mom went and bought a bunch of candy, and while she was talking with my aunt, I got out of bed, and I thought, look at all this candy. I didn't know who it was for. I just thought it's an opportunity. I started eating it. It was Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. That's what I ate. I ate pack. It was like 4 or 5 packs. I was under my pillow, and I was eating them all. It didn't dawn on me that they were, you know, for people. I thought it was for me. So my mom, I heard, you know how you hear this conversation as a kid? You're like, what? My mom said, do you know what happened? She's asking my aunt, do you know what happened to the candy? I'm like, candy? I got the candy. Mom says, well, I put it right here. I'm thinking, oh no, I'm going to be discovered. So I had it all, hid the wrappers under my, everything was under my pillow. Put my head under my pillow, everything. So my mom said, she called my name. She said, did you know where the candy is? I said, what candy? She says, the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I said, no. She goes, let me see you. No, I'm sleeping, Mom. So then finally, I go, what? And I had like chocolate, you know, all over my mouth. I didn't get punished because I was too cute, right? But when you're a kid, it's cute. When, say you're a teenager, and you're stealing mama and daddy's money out of their wallet,
yeah.
It's no longer cute.
Sure.
Right? Now we got a problem. So here, you know, the Bible talks to us about being honest. And you know, even the word integrity comes from the root word integer, which is a number that can't be divided by itself. Like one is an integer. Remember we learned that in math? A number that is indivisible. It always remains the same. Like 3, 5, 7, 11, right? A number, if we're going to have integrity, that means we're not divided. And we're not dividable. So if we look at this, and then I say the first thing, one of the first things we want to be in demonstrating faithfulness is to be what? Is to be a person of integrity, or to be honest and not speak a lie. And it is possible, because, you know, why do we lie? Why does a person lie? Well, they don't like the consequences, or they want to get away with something, or they feel they're ashamed of their mistake, or they say, I might lose my job, or this might happen. But if you realize, hey, wait a minute, if I just tell the truth, think about it. If you told the truth, how valuable would you be to any company? Like, why'd you get fired? You know, you fill out your resume. I told the truth. What? I told the truth. I got fired for telling the truth. They asked me if I did it, if I made this mistake. I said yes. That was me. I'm solely responsible. And I told them it wouldn't happen again, but they were so upset, they fired me. Well, don't you think, I mean, I look at it, a character issue is not something that can be taught. It's a choice. It's something that you have to develop, right? And if if I ever looked at someone who got fired because they told the truth or because they wouldn't lie, don't you think that person would be hireable?
Yeah.
If someone said, well, how come he got fired? Because I wouldn't lie. Think about that. I mean, that's going to serious job promotion right there. Even if you made the mistake, so what? You're honest about it. And not just with people, but with God. David says this, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Wow. So we want a delight. We want the Lord to be delighted with us. What should we do? Tell the truth. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're supposed to speak the truth in love, in a nice way, in a good way. But we have to be people of what? If we're going to be people that are faithful, we have to what? Tell the truth. And I just think about, we have that capability because he's honest with us. He's the one true God, right? And we're his kids. We're supposed to be imitating him. So is that possible that we can tell the truth? Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now what happens, you know, when someone says, it's going to cost me a lot if I tell the truth. But if you flip it around, like, how much is it going to cost you if you lie?
Sure.
It's going to be a lot more. You know, relationships get destroyed, right? I'm just thinking of relationships in my mind. And then you get hurt because someone lied to you. Anybody like being lied to?
No.
No. So that means what? We shouldn't lie to others. If something happens, if you can't make it, if someone goes, are you going to come? Oh, yeah, I'm going to try and be there. Which you know you're not going to even try and be there. You can just simply say, no, I'm not coming. I hope you have a wonderful, why not? I'm not coming. You know, that's all. That's all you have to say. You don't owe somebody an explanation. Right? And you can say it in love, in a kind way. But do you think, when you think back, or you think ahead, you think you'll have more friends if they know you tell them the truth? Better friends?
Mm-hmm.
Right? People you can trust? Amen?
Amen.
All right. Proverbs 27:4 says it this way, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now this is interesting. The reason I wanted to look at this is as we delight in the Lord through an honest life and speech and in deed, he will give us the desires of our heart. If we're going to delight in him, then we have to delight in what? Being truthful or being honest or removing, and this includes our taxes. Right? I don't know if nobody likes to pay taxes, but if we're looking to the Lord, Lord, you're going to help us. You're the one that supplies for us, right? We want to be honest in every way. Amen?
Amen.
So we want to delight ourselves in the Lord. And as we delight in him, we delight in what's honest, because that's what he values. And as we value what he values, he increases us. He gives us the things that we desire, but we get it through an honest means. And therefore, there's no remorse or no regret or no heartache with it, right? Here's what Charles Finney is, a famous evangelist. And this was really interesting to me. I like this take on what he said. He said this. Lying is more than just telling your neighbor an untruth. Ready? Here it comes. Lying is giving the perception to others that something is true when the reality is far different from what was implied. Did you catch that? Lying is not just saying something that's not true. It's giving the impression that something's true when it's really not. And this is what, like I told you the story before, when my wife and I got married and I always handed over all my money. And so she can manage it. Well, I can manage it better. I'm good with it, right? But the one time I got a bonus from my work and she, you know, it was like $500. She goes, did you get a bonus? I go, yeah, it's $500. She goes, give it to me. I'm like, man. So then I got to the place, she goes, did you get a bonus? I go, would you believe $400, honey? She's so happy, but really I got like $800 or $900. And I asked her, what, would you believe? Leaving the impression that something was true when it really wasn't. And the way it all got found out, because it always does, is I'm just going here, buying this, buying that, buying this. She goes, where'd you get all the money for that? So I had some. She goes, did you get a bigger bonus than what you told me? Yeah. She says, you lied. I go, I didn't lie. I asked you, would you believe? And you believed it. That's not my fault. But it is if I'm leading someone to the impression to believe something that's not true. Does that make sense? Just like if I told them an untruth is leading them to believe something that's not true. I don't have to come out and exactly lie and say something that's not true if I know that the impression I'm giving them is untrue. Does that make sense? Does God give you untrue impressions? No. If he says there's one way to heaven, how many ways are there? One. If Jesus said, I'm the only way, and no one gets to heaven but by me, and if you don't accept me, you're lost, that's pretty clear. He's not saying, well, you could be right. You might be. You could be. No. It's just the truth, right? And so we have to love the truth. Ephesians 4 says this, verse 25. It says it in this sense, what this adds up to, Message version, is that no more lies, no more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth in love. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. After all, when you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Right? If you're connected in the body of Christ and you lie, you know, like just for me, I'm always a little cautious of doing business with businesses that have a fish on it. You're like, I'm a Christian. Well, but you should just be able to do it if you're a Christian or not a Christian. If you're doing a good job, that should be your witness, right? You shouldn't have to necessarily, I mean, it's great if you're a Christian, but you shouldn't try to persuade people to go with you because you put a fish to say you're a Christian if you're already doing a good job, right? Let that be your witness. And if you're a Christian, that's better. That's a bonus. But I don't have to qualify myself like saying, I'm a Christian when, you know what I'm saying, I'm a Christian. So you got to do business with me because you're a Christian. But what if I might have poor business skills? Right? What if I'm a, anybody know a shady Christian?
Yep.
Someone who claimed to be a brother or sister who was shady?
Yep.
Dishonest?
Yep.
Took advantage?
Yep.
Right? You're going to have that. So that's not the standard that you go by. So here the Bible just says, quit lying to each other, which means you could be lying to each other, which means you, if you ever told the truth once, you could tell it twice, right? And if you do lie, you know what's a great thing to do? Just repent right there in front of them. Well, that'll hurt my feelings. Well, good. But if I made up something, I said, no, that's not true. I over-exaggerated. Because sometimes we could over-exaggerate. And if you know you did that and you missed it, what do you do? Oh, no, that... I over-exaggerated. I'm sorry. That was a lie. Because that'll teach you what? Not to lie, to stop it. You know, I walked 10 miles today. Well, no, it was like 1 mile. Well, it felt like 10. Well, there's a difference. You know, there's a difference. So, here's the second thing. Second thing we can do. Proverbs 25:9 in the Message version says this. In the heat of an argument, don't betray confidence. The word is sure to get out and around that, and no one will trust you. Here, we talk about fidelity or the ability to be trusted with something. Have you ever told someone something and you told them, don't tell anyone?
Mm-hmm.
And you got home and people are asking you, hey, what about, you're like, I just told them not to tell anyone, and I only told one. But everybody says, like, well, if you told one, and they told one, and they told one, and it gets back to you, everybody knows. So what happens here, he says, especially in the heat of an argument. Now, what I found was interesting here is you have to be able to be trusted with keeping something confidential if the Lord, if they said, don't tell anyone. You know, not like just pray for me, but they said, don't tell anyone. Then what should you do? Not tell anyone. And if you're married, you can say, can I tell my husband or can I tell my wife? And if they say no, then you don't tell your husband or your wife. It's simple. Because especially in the heat of an argument, it says don't betray confidence. What can happen sometimes is you want to prove your point in an argument, right? That you give out extra information so that somebody will take your side and they make somebody else look bad. Well, so-and-so agrees with me because they told me blah, 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 blah. And they had the same problem, da, 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 da. And this is what they did, da, 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 da. And so, see, that's why I'm thinking that way, because so-and-so did it and this guy over here did it. But those two people, you weren't supposed to tell. Right? You're telling them because you're trying to persuade the other person about your point in an argument. But you weren't supposed to say anything. Isn't that true? So if you said, okay, for me, for example, one time I was talking with someone. This was kind of awkward. And it was a minister friend. And I said, yeah, I think the Lord's dealing with me about this. Can you just please don't tell anyone. Just kind of keep it, you know, under wraps. I said, okay, yeah, sure. So what do you think I'm thinking? It's under wraps. Yeah. Right? Maybe a week later or 2 weeks later, I go to this luncheon. Now, this is the only person I told. You can't tell 10 people to not tell anyone. Right? So like a week or two later, hey, Joe, can you go help Mark, please? A week or two later, we were sitting at a luncheon, and it had to do with employment. I was thinking about leaving one place and maybe do something. This guy I really don't even know says to me, so I heard you're thinking about leaving. So I'm like, oh man, where did that come from? And the person that was my boss was still at that meeting. Does that make sense? Is that awkward? You're keeping something you're thinking about, you're praying about, then no one's supposed to know. You go to the luncheon, somebody you really don't know starts talking to you about the thing that nobody's supposed to know, and your boss is still at that luncheon. So what if he hears, how do you think that's going to come about? That's awkward. So now what am I thinking? Now I'm thinking, I can't talk to him about anything anymore. Because I can't trust him to keep it what? Secret. And you know, I realize this. This is why we have so many, like, I would say wounded people. But this is why it's so hard for us to trust people. Because we feel like if we told somebody something, they're not going to keep it a secret. So we just don't tell anybody and we keep it. And when we keep it, we don't necessarily get better or get help. We just kind of stay hurt, right? Because we hold it in. And we don't know how to get rid of it or how to overcome it, but we can't trust anyone because in the past, we told someone not to tell someone and they told someone as soon as we told them not to tell someone. Right? I mean, it's not a good thing, but this is what happens. So in realizing this, I'm thinking like one area of faithfulness, if somebody tells you don't tell anyone, just put on your little forget helmet. And after they tell you, you just like, it's gone. Unless they bring it up to you, I am not telling anyone. I'm not going to let it out. Because I don't want to be what? A gossiper. Amen? Don't want to be gossiping about this.
What was that scripture, Pastor?
It's Proverbs 25, verse 9. Now look at Proverbs 20:19. It says this. Gossips can't keep secrets. This is the voice version, a message. Never confide in blabbermouths.
What scripture is that again?
Proverbs 20:19. Say, a gossip will reveal your secrets, so avoid the company of people who talk openly and foolishly. And I was thinking, you may not necessarily even tell them a secret, but they could see something or overhear something. Right? So if you're around people who are always talking openly and foolishly, they're going to probably be talking about you at some point at some time. And even if, you know, you're trying to talk to someone else privately over here, you're going to have people talking to you and they go, I don't know what they're talking about. I think I know. Right? Even though they don't know. So not only do we want to be people who tell the truth and be honest, but we want to be those who can be entrusted. If somebody tells you, don't say anything. And if you can't not say anything, say, no, don't tell me, because I am not very good at that. Be honest, right? Mm-hmm. Say, I have a tendency to talk. I am not trustworthy in that area. I'm working on it. When I'm ready, I'll let you know. If you still want to tell me, you can. But until then, please don't tell me. Why? Because, and again, this is about being faithful. You remember the Lord said, if you can be trusted with a little bit, he will what? He will give you more. I mean, this is eternal ramifications. That's why he said, who can find a faithful person? And if you can find that person, you got something going on that's good, right? Better is to become that person. And these are all areas we can grow in, right? So can we keep secrets? I don't mean bad secrets, you know, I'm talking, and if somebody told you something, it shouldn't be illegal or it can't be illegal or immoral or something like that. You know, like, I robbed a bank. Please don't tell anybody. No, you can't. You can't do that, right? So you can't do that. You have to be like, no, if someone just tells me confidentiality, I can keep a secret. Amen? But if they tell me, like, I'll give an example. One time, we were like at a conference, and somebody said, when this person violated me in this way. Okay, now that's a legal thing, because this person was underage. I can't keep that a secret. So I have to report that to the authorities. And it should have been reported, so it's fine. So that's something that's different. But if they're an adult, and they say, look, this is what happened, you know, when I was young, this happened to me. So, okay, well, let's pray, let's be God. But I ain't going to tell anybody. And so, if somebody's asking you, because they need someone to talk to, be those ears, but just don't be the mouth.
Right.
To repeat it. You know? And you wouldn't want God telling someone, you confess something to him, you want him broadcasting it through heaven? Come on, Michael, Gabriel, let's get everyone together. This was, I can't believe they did this. No, you'd be like, oh, no, please don't tell everyone. Right? Amen. So let's grow in that area of faithfulness. And what is some of these, again, some of these words? Is being trustworthy, devoted, allegiance, to be constant, dedicated, dependable. How many of you wish you could just find someone dependable to work with? Mm. They're supposed to come in when they come in, they leave when they leave. They do the work what they asked to do, right? That's all you want. You just want them to show up on time. That's the first thing. Just show up. And they show up on time, they get some work in, right? So many great things. All right. Third thing. So what's the first thing? We want to be
honest,
right? Tell the truth. No lying, right? Second thing, if somebody asks, tells us something in confidence, we have to what?
Keep it
confident.
Yeah.
And this also with family, husband and wife, wife and husband. You know, sometimes we want open communication, but a lot of things should just be between the husband and wife. I'm telling you, as a guy, and I thank the Lord my wife doesn't talk, but I would be so upset if I told her something in confidence and she told all her friends. That would bother me. So what would happen is, as a guy, I would probably really restrict how much I really shared my feelings or what I thought, because I couldn't trust her to keep it a secret. And it works the same way the other way around, right? So practice this. You know, if your friends, your family, your spouse is going through something, they tell you, don't tell anybody. Don't say, yeah, I'll... You know, don't disguise it as a prayer request. You know, ladies or men's Bible studies. Yeah, I'll pray for my husband because, you know, that rascal, he told me, well, don't do that. Because he's not going to tell you anything more. Especially if he gets a bunch of texts from people he don't really know saying, we're praying for you and we want you to be, you know, okay in this area. That ain't going to help him, right? It's going to, or her, it's not going to help. Okay, third thing. Is about accuracy, precision, and exactness. And what I mean by that here is simply this, is that if the Lord asks us to do something, this is about being faithful, we should do what he asks. What we shouldn't do is to become more creative and go further out than what he asks, or to develop our own idea and improve on what he asked. Not that trying to improve on something isn't bad, but it's not ours to improve on. Does that make sense? And I'm going to give you an example here. Luke 16:12 says this. I mean, not Luke 16:12. It says this. If we have not been faithful in what is another man's, who shall give us our own? Now look at Matthew 21:1-3 says this. Jesus is speaking, and he's talking to the disciples, and he says, now go, you'll find this donkey and the colt. Bring it to me. Right? This is before the Passover. Right? You'll find the donkey and the colt that's tied up. Bring it to me. This is before the Passover. And I was thinking about this. Now, I never really recognized there was a donkey and a colt or a foal, a baby donkey. But Jesus said, bring them both to me. Bring them to me. We only see him riding the donkey, right? But what if they would have left the colt behind? I mean, who's going to feed the colt? What's going to happen? A lot of instances. Or what if there was like this really majestic stallion that was tied up like a Roman horse? And the disciples said, oh, I got an idea. Jesus is worth so much more than riding a donkey. We're going to get him this big, magnificent horse. That would have been the wrong move, even though it would have been an upgrade. You see that? He didn't ask you to bring him the horse, the majestic stallion. He said, bring the donkey and what? The colt. So part of being faithful is when the Lord told you to do something or somebody asked you to do something, just do what they asked you to do. Why? Because it's not yours, it's theirs. If they said, for example, I want you, can you do me a favor? And you said, yes. Can you go to the store and buy me a couple pineapples? And you come back with some oranges, some lemons, and something else. Think, I thought this was it was on sale, we're going to mix it together, it'll be taste like pineapple. They're like, no, I just wanted two pineapples. Right? That's all I wanted. All you need to do is what? Get them the pineapples. And what if you go to the store, you get two pineapples, and they have this really great sale on avocados? You think, oh, I got to buy them some of those too. No. You can buy you some of those, but you just buy them what they asked you to buy them. Why? Because maybe they don't want the avocados. Does that make sense? Well, why? We have, I myself included, I have this tendency to want to do more, thinking I can recreate it and do it better. Right? I'll get you some pineapples. I'll get you something that you really like. Then you'll just give me what I want. Right? I look at this example with Moses. When the Lord told him, you hit the rock one time and water will flow out. Moses gets angry at the people and he hits the rock twice. So what's the big deal? Well, the big deal was that rock was a symbol of Christ and that he would only be smitten or die once. So you only hit it once. You don't hit it twice because he's not going to die twice. You see? So many times God has this exact formula he just wants you to follow so you can be what? Faithful. You don't have to be creative. You know, I mean, if someone said they trust you and things, and you say, okay, be as creative as you want, design something for me, then do that.
Yeah.
Say, this is what I'm thinking. This is, and you know, it's always easier spending other people's money too, right? Mm-hmm. You ever notice that? Like, you can be real creative with someone else's stuff. I remember when I went overseas one time, I had to buy tickets for this train. Now, it was a round-trip ticket. And so a guy told me, go buy... They have two different classes. Go buy the they call it a hard sleeper and a soft sleeper. Hard sleeper, you have to sleep on this really like flat wood bench. It's kind of uncomfortable, like 12, 13 hours. Soft sleeper, you kind of get your own room with a spongy mattress. So what happened was this guy went, the guy ahead, the head of the group said, go buy these hard sleepers. Send somebody with me. He comes with me. He wants to get the soft sleeper. because it's more comfortable. He said, I'll pay the difference, man. I'll pay the difference. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm only going to buy what I'm told. He goes, I don't care what you're told. Just buy this. It doesn't make sense. Buy the soft sleeper. I'm going to give him the money. Long story, we got in this argument, right? And I'm like, I'm not doing it because I'm only doing what I'm authorized to do. Because it's not mine. He goes, it doesn't matter. I know the guy. I'm like, well, you do that on your time. We walked all the way back. I said, he wants to buy these tickets. I don't want to buy them because you only told me to buy the cheap tickets. He goes, that's because he's cheap. That's why he wants to buy two. Like, well, that's not my problem. This is his money, right? So long story short, they bought the more expensive tickets. And then coming back, we had to buy the harder tickets. Getting out, we just about ran out of money because we spent the money on tickets, on the bed, you know, the upgraded sleeping quarters. And then this is a long trip. We get back it was in Hong Kong, and there's a Starbucks. And my friend says, hey, I'm going to buy everybody something from Starbucks because we suffered on this trip. Right? He said, I'm going to buy everybody something. I'm like, I don't want anything. He goes, no, come on. So, okay, I'll take this, whatever, strawberry, whatever. And he goes, I'm buying everybody, right? I'm going to buy everybody. Everybody. So, okay, we're done. We all got drinks. Well, buy a donut or something, too. No, no, I don't want to. Get a donut. At least share something. All right. So we pick a donut. He goes to pay with his credit card. And he says, oh, I'm sorry, sir, our machine's down.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, this is all I got. I only got my credit card. He goes, well, we can't take credit card. Now, these other guys are already sipping their drinks and whatever. So the leader of the group says, he has this, it's kind of like a travel card that they use for their bus system. Kind of like you can just scan it. But it also is accepted as cash. So he tells him, hey, can you borrow me the money, front me the money? He goes, because I don't have any other means. He goes, okay. So he buys what he needs to buy. I pitch in all my money, all that kind of stuff, right, what I have left. We buy these drinks that we really didn't want, and these little snacks that he enjoyed, this one guy enjoyed. But the other guys are like, oh, we didn't really want it. But he wanted to buy it, but then he couldn't use his card. So now we got to go through back onto the subway, right? So we get on the subway, and my friend uses his card to get in the subway, but he has no money left on his card because he had to spend it on the Starbucks that the other guy wanted, right? That he couldn't use because the credit card machine was down. So the guy who wanted all that stuff yells at my friend and says, I can't believe you don't have any money on your card, man. You're supposed to know these things. Exactly. You think, what's wrong with that guy? He's still my friend today. He's already repented. We've talked, right? But what's the problem? The problem is sometimes we can cause problems, not just for ourselves, but for others, by not doing what someone just tells us to do. Especially since it's not ours. It's theirs. If you said, if someone said, just buy me an apple pie and cut it up in 8 slices. No, I don't cut it up in 8. I cut them up in 4. Well, it's not yours to choose. Just cut it up in 8. Why? Because they asked you. Just be faithful in what someone asks you to do. Amen?
Amen.
But this, I know this doesn't sound like a big deal, but, I mean, you know, just being or doing what the Lord asks you to do or what somebody asks you to do. But have you ever thought about times you wanted to do more and it didn't work out like you thought it was going to work out? Just do what they ask you to do. And if they say, hey, do whatever you want, that's different, right? Doing whatever you want is different. But if they ask you to do something specific, just do that specific thing. Why? Because you're learning faithfulness. It's not yours, it's theirs. You're helping them do something. You're partnering, right? What about you? If you have something and you ask somebody to do something for you, don't you want them just to do what you asked them to do? Right? Sure. Especially like, you know, furniture in your house or whatever. Someone says, oh, let's put the furniture. No, I got a better idea, right here. Or whatever. If someone said, hey, you design it whatever you want. That's one thing, right? What if you're building a house? They say, no, I don't think you should have that big a closet. I'm going to cut it down for you. You don't need to buy so much. You're like, well, it's a new house. It's my house. No, but we know what's best. Now, Brother Tony was telling me that the painters, they were doing some expansion at his business. They're trying to tell him what color they wanted him to paint his shop. I'm like, what? Yeah, we got a deal on some paint. We think it would be better if you painted it this color. Well, no, I'm paying you to paint the shop. Just paint it the color I want it painted. I want it to match. Not just because it's on sale. You got extras from another job. But then people get offended. Like, oh, I can't believe you would, you know. And all you got to do is just do what the Lord, what? Tells you to do. Amen? Just keep it really simple. Why? Because we're demonstrating faithfulness. There's more areas, but these are just three. So first, we stay honest, right?
Yeah.
Which also implies not just telling the truth, but we don't leave an implication of a misunderstanding that we know isn't true. Meaning, I don't want someone to think something that isn't true. And I know what I'm saying is going to lead them to conclude that it's not true. Does that make sense? We want to just be honest and tell them what? The truth. And not give an idea that something's true when it's really not, purposefully, on purpose or intentionally. Second, we want to be people who what? Can keep a secret. That means if someone says to you, don't tell anybody, you promise, what does that mean? This isn't tell nobody. You can tell a dog, maybe, or a cat. Because they're not a body. But you don't tell another person. And be honest with yourself and with them. If you struggle with that, you know you gossip a little bit, then tell them, hey, look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Don't tell me. Because my mouth is, I've got a blabber mouth. I do. Just tell them. And they'll what? They'll thank you for telling them the truth. Amen? And you want to be able to be trusted. You want to be able to help people. So don't tell them that. And what's the last thing? If somebody asks you to do something, be precise or exact in what they ask you to do. If they say, go fill up my car with gas, don't put in diesel. All I want you to do is a little bit cheaper, or, you know, I'm going to upgrade you, you know, with a higher, get this, put in the normal gasoline. Just fill it up. You don't have to change the oil. You don't have to do anything else. You could ask them, can I change the oil for you too? But just do what they ask you to do. And maybe in the future they'll say, hey, do whatever you want. Just put in gas, and if you see anything else, just do it. That's different. You understand? But start by just doing what people ask you to do. Just be faithful. Because I personally, you know, if you think about you and I, if somebody asks us to do something, or you ask someone to do something, and they do what they just do what you're going to do, what do you know? They're dependable. You can trust them, right? You'll give them another task, and eventually what will you do? You tell them something, say, do whatever you want. Because I what? I trust you. You know, if I say, like, can you take care of my lawn? I don't need them ripping up everything the very first time if they're just supposed to mow it. But after you work past the mowing, you say, can you put in a flower bed? Eventually you get to the place where you say, hey, do whatever you think is best. But you got to work your way up to that point, right? You don't just start there. So with God, be what he tells you to do something, just do what he says. If he says, give that person $5, just give him $5. No, I'm going to go big. I'm going to go small. Just do what he says. That's all he's asking you to do is what he says. See, and this is why he says, who can find a faithful person? Because usually one of these three areas, we can miss it, right? Either we're not honest, we don't keep a secret, or we do our own thing and prove on what somebody asked us. But think about it. If you always tell someone the truth and you're honest, not just with others, but with yourself and with the Lord, and then you can keep a secret, ooh, you're valuable, right? Think about it. If you could tell somebody something and you know other than the Lord that it would never be told, wouldn't that be awesome? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you be happy? I think I'm pretty good at keeping secrets. My wife will ask me what they say. I can't tell you. They told me not to say. Not even to me, not even to you. I asked them specifically, I'm not going to say anything to my wife. Is that okay? No, that's okay. Or, can I tell my wife? Yeah, you can tell her. It's great. But you find somebody like that, that you can tell them a secret, and they won't tell it. Oh, man. That would be a great service. I mean, that would be a great business-making idea. The guy who keeps secrets. Any secret, $20. I won't tell it. Now, a big secret, they cost more, you know, but this is a little secret. And what's the third thing?
Do
remember?
What God tells you. Do what God tells you to do.
Yeah, do what the Lord tells you to do, or if somebody asks you to do something, just do what they tell you. You don't have to improve on it at first. Do your very best. Do what they say. And say, okay, I'm done. This is what you asked me to do. I did it. You were faithful in what they asked you to do. Just like when Jesus told the disciples, go get the key and the colt. Get both of them. What if they didn't get both of them? What if they saw this big horse? Oh, man, look at that stuff. A Clydesdale. This thing is beautiful. They're messing things up. They didn't have to improve on it. I mean, just think about it. You go through Scripture. Look at what happens. Jesus said, he healed somebody. He said, now go show the priest. Don't tell anybody I healed you. Then what happened? They go and tell everybody he healed them, and then he couldn't go heal any more people because of the crowds. He said, I just told you, just go, just do this. So if he tells you to do something, he's just proving your, what, faithfulness. Just purpose in your heart to do what he tells you to do. You don't have to improve on it, right? He'll give you that creative, you know, leeway in the future. But for now, just do what he tells you to do. It's really simple. I mean, if you really think about it, God keeps it really simple, right? It's sometimes it's us, we make it really difficult or complicated. Amen. You know. So this week we're going to work on these areas, amen?
Yes.
And we'll eliminate lying one to another. We'll be more diligent to be entrusted with sensitive information or secrets that people talk to us about. And we'll be faithful to perform and manage things entrusted in our lives by others over what they have. And as we do that, God will increase us with more for us to manage. Amen? All right. I hope the Lord, I believe in Him, in our partnership, as we're faithful, He'll increase us.
Amen.
To be more, have more to be faithful with.
Yeah.
And that's good news.
Yeah.
I know it's sometimes a little tough to think, okay, I got to be faithful, and I got to cut out the lying and the gossiping and doing things my way. But as we grow up in faithfulness, think about it. The Lord will promote you. Those things that you desire, as you delight in Him and doing things His way, He'll increase you. So you don't have to fear or worry that you're going to miss out or lack, because if you do it His way, He says, you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. You delight in doing things the right way, doing it His way, He will give you the things that you want, that you desire, but you got to do it His way, because that's the right way,
yeah.
Right? And as you do it the right way, then you'll get the right results. And you go home, you can sleep at night, not in any fear or anxiety or worry. Why? Because you got it the right way. You did it the right way. You trust in the Lord. You're leaning to Him. You're speaking the truth. Amen?
Amen.
All right. That was one amen. But I know there's other amens out there that just didn't come out. That's okay. And we'll close in prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to hear your word. And Lord, show us areas in our life where we can be more faithful, more dedicated and demonstrated to you, Lord, so that we can qualify for more. Lord, so we can be promoted and entrusted with a higher position, Lord, and more privileges in your kingdom. And we just thank you for it. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get ready to take up our tithes and offerings. And of course, tithes and offerings is, if you need an envelope, you can raise your hand. We'll get our envelopes. Joe took off with them. If you need an usher, where's my mic will add? All right. But when we give to the Lord, what is it really? It's a reflection of what? What does giving mean? It's just a reflection of our faithfulness to Him. That's it. And the neat thing I like about God is that He requires a percentage. He doesn't require an amount. Did you ever notice that? He requires a percentage. He doesn't require a fixed amount. So as you give, He said a tithe is what? 10%? It's whatever you make minus 10 off the end. And this is something that can be proven no matter what culture you're in or where you are in the world. It represents faithfulness. To recognize, hey, Lord, You gave me all this. You blessed me. And I'm giving back to You what You already blessed me with. And I want you to think, just for a moment, the really big picture is heaven. You know, He said, if you've been faithful in a little bit, I'll make you ruler over what? Much. Not just give you much, but make you ruler over much. So right here now, we have the opportunity to be, what, faithful. To demonstrate that to Him. To be proven faithful. No doubt about it, just proven faithful. Amen? Okay, I'll say a general prayer. You say a specific prayer for what you are believing the Lord for. Father, we thank You for the privilege and opportunity to give. And as we give today, we give with a happy, cheerful, glad heart, knowing that whatever we sow, we shall also reap. And we just thank You for it in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go ahead and take up offering, Michael. Okay, a couple of announcements. Yeah, has anybody ever seen that before? He brought to Him the donkey and the colt. I always thought it was just the donkey because He's only riding on the donkey. But He said, bring them both. I thought if that was a baby donkey, and maybe that was the mother donkey who would take care of the baby donkey while it was being borrowed. But why not just get the horse that's next door? You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm glad the Lord didn't tell me to go do it, because I'm going to look for the best deal. I'm going to get the big horse He can ride and gallop on and show he's worthy of this, right? Okay, so we have joint Bible study this week at 7. And let's see, what else we have? Youth Friday at 7. And then we have
Hallelujah
night.
31st.
So today's the 21st, 28th. Next 2 Wednesdays away. So that'll be out here starting at 6 o'clock. No costumes are required. Amen. Just dress up in, as a disciple. Everyone's a disciple.
We're
going
to do the color run. So the color proof stuff. So costumes are discouraged.
Yeah, so you're going to have color bombs or whatever you call them, right? And so if people have different colors, they'll be getting hit with fluorescent or what have you.
Powder.
Like chalk. And so don't wear anything that you feel like you really like. You might don't want to get dirty, so you have to get rid of that. And let's see, I think that's basically it. Oh, there is cake and pizza following the service, so please don't run out. We have children's churches celebrating a couple of birthdays, Zoe and Danae. So make sure you don't have to give them any more money or gifts or anything like that. But just hang out if you want and get a piece of cake or a slice of pizza. I don't know if it's organic or vegan. I kind of doubt it. But
gluten-free.
But it's, yeah. Yeah, it's all the free gluten you can eat. That's all. But yeah, so just hang out, get to
talk with women's
yeah, event. Women's event is coming up. Registration deadline is what, the 4th?
Yes.
And there's no child care provided, unfortunately, whatever. So make plans ahead on that. And you need to register by the 4th, but it's going to be a great time for the ladies. I met some people I haven't seen for a while, and I just said, oh, hi. And I said, I'll tell my wife, you said, oh, don't bother, I'm going to see them, you know, on the women's event. And I said, oh, okay, well, all right, I didn't know you guys were talking, good. Praise the Lord. That'll work. Amen. So go have a great week, a great faith-filled week. Remember, what's the 3 things we're not going to do?
Lie. Tell secrets.
Not tell secrets.
And we're not going to be creative with other people's stuff, right? So we're going to be honest, faithful, and we're going to be trustworthy, right?
Faithful, trustworthy.
Yeah. So we're not going to lie, and we're not going to tell gossip, or we're not going to be a tale bearer. We're not going to tell what somebody else tells us to keep secret. We're going to be trusted with what people tell us. And thirdly, when somebody asks us to do something for them, we're going to be faithful to do what they say. If they give us more freedom, then we'll do more with what they tell us. But if they tell us one thing, we just do that one thing, right? With joy to the best that we can do it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. God bless y'all. Now, greet one another. Give each other a hug. And go get some food.